is there any danger in any of these psychedelics? And if so, what kind of danger, how severe? Lay it out.
Right. I mean, there doesn't there is psychological danger, definitely, there definitely are dangers. Some of the dangers are dangers that we don't actually have kind of categories for. I mean, if you read my book, I have an experience with a substance called DPT, dipropyltryptamine, which
Yes.
is a kind of analog of DMT.
Yes.
And after that experience, I had like a, I was in a kind of weird kind of occult waking dream state for a while, and I had all of these kind of crazy synchronicities happen, and I had this kind of what basically it felt like. And it was up to doing that experience, I'd never really thought much about the Western occult tradition, and I'd never really paid much attention to Aleister Crowley and people like that. But I had, the sense of this kind of entity who was appearing in my dreams, and then poltergeist phenomena started in the house, mirrors started falling off the walls, and I actually had to call on a friend to do an exorcism
What?
to kind of reintegrate the energy that had been released.
I'm sorry, what was this drug again? It was D.
Called DPT,
D.
dipropyltryptamine. If you think of, and
DPT.
it's a synthetic chemical. I don't even know when it was exactly produced. But if you think of DMT as dimethyltryptamine,
Yes.
methyl and propyl are simple carbon compounds. So you have like methylene, propylene. So it's a synthetic analog of DMT, but it has a very different effects.
Obviously.
Yeah. So anyway, so that was one, a very interesting and ultimately powerful and amazing lesson and stuff that I wouldn't have believed up until that point.
Well, was it negative?
Well, it was negative. I mean, what I've more and more come to see as I've explored this stuff more and thought about it is that there's a reason why these shamanic cultures developed as they did
Yeah.
to have kind of rituals around these
Yes.
substances. And for these indigenous cultures, a lot of them, these substances are really the sacred essence of their cultures.
Oh no, you're absolutely correct to suggest that. I mean, face it, folks, these cultures, when you look at them, have gigantic traditions and religions built around this. So there is something to this. Do you think that DPT opened a door, Daniel, that remained open, allowing, well, what? Spirits? Allowing what through?
Well, ultimately I think it was kind of like a genie or something. But
A
the answer is
genie.
yes.
A genie.
Well, a djinn, that's what the Islamic tradition calls them, or a kind of not a demon, but a kind of daimon. It was kind of like an amoral, kind of luciferic kind of a being.
Oh, really?
It was very important just for my development. I mean, from that experience I was able to kind of understand that there's a kind of, some level of truth to the Western occult tradition. And I got very fascinated with the ideas of Rudolf Steiner, who was an Austrian visionary who wrote in the early part of the 20th century, started a whole movement called Anthroposophy. And he was trying to institute a kind of spiritual science, which would be a sort of a systematic way that people could enter into these kind of other domains of consciousness through meditation techniques and developing waking, clarity during the dream states and stuff. And a lot of the experiences I had, I found that he gave me a real context for understanding.
But I know, but to have to go to the extreme of having an exorcism, Daniel, there must have been some pretty significant stuff going on. And for how long did it go on after you ingested this DPT?
Maybe 2 or 3 weeks.
2 or 3 weeks. And during those 2 or 3 weeks, what did you experience? I mean, having somebody do an exorcism, that's pretty serious. I mean, you're obviously having serious trouble to go to that extent to find an exorcist. What happened?
Well, I mean, it was interesting. Actually, the person who did the exorcism was a friend of mine who's sort of has skill as a witch, and I'd actually taken the substance with her originally, And I went away from my house for a week, and then I came back, and we both kind of, you know, I mean, I re-entered the space, and I could feel that the energy was just completely crazy in the space. And I brought her back, and we both could feel this kind of, really felt like this kind of, you know, occult energy was just crackling in the rooms. And, you know, luckily she had some kind of skills for dealing with this stuff. And it involved obsidian. It's a very good substance. Obsidian, black obsidian is known to absorb negative occult energies.
We have a mountain of obsidian pretty close to where I am. It's beautiful, black, shiny obsidian. It's just beautiful. So we have a whole mountain of it here if you need some.
Yeah. I mean, basically for me it was also a big lesson in... You know, I mean, what Carl Jung talks about, the, you know, the reality of the psyche and the kind of shadow and how, you know, how you have to work with the shadow, and it can actually be projected and take kind of psychophysical manifestations.
But didn't this experience with DBT put on the big caution light for you in terms of what, I mean, you're dabbling in areas that you don't know about, and obviously you just dabbled in one that bit you in the behind a little bit. So did it throw on the caution light for you?
Yes, it threw on the caution light for me. But I also, I mean, my feeling through this whole investigation that I did for the book was that, you know, I mean, I to a certain extent, once I understood the seriousness of it and began to have these, you know, kind of shamanic experiences, I felt that it was absolutely necessary that somebody like me go to the limit and try to interpret, you know, these domains for the modern consciousness.
Were you ever concerned for your life? I mean, if you summon something of the nature you've talked about, you'd have to be, for a while, pretty damn scared and concerned for your life.
Yes, I have been concerned not only for my life, but the lives of people around me. If you look at shamanism, I mean, you know, Eliade in his book on shamanism talks about how when somebody goes through their own kind of shamanic initiation process,
yes,
which is basically what I think happened to me, it's the energy can be sort of uncontained and can sort of bounce around and affect people around them.
Oh, brother.
This is kind of recognized in shamanic societies. And, you know, my father did die while I was writing the book.